just let everybody know about halfway through the event. I'll make sure there was any questions as possible. So please, please, as best as you can, limit your comments to questions. We'll get through them as quick as possible. And I'm coming over there in just a second.
Hello, my name is Todd Martin. Is it correct that you are here as a representative of the NEPA process and that you are here as an expert witness? Is that correct? Yes or no?
I will say I am here as a representative at the request of Lieutenant Governor, and I can talk about the NEPA process.
Okay.
The witness
but basically, you are here as an expert on it. So let's go to the next question.
Yes, sir.
When did you publish the official notification to the public? What date?
I have to refer to my notes. I don't have that with me right now.
Okay, well, let's go on to what NEPA is.
Right.
Is it not correct that after 30 days after you publish notice for official comments, the comments close, and any comments after that do not legally have to be included into your study? Is that correct?
That is not correct.
That's not what's in the official CFR.
I'm sorry?
That's not what's in the law. Have you read it? The comment period is 30 days. How are you going to ensure that all these people here will be legally represented with their comments? Are you going to publish a statement that says that you will accept these comments and they will be actually in the environmental impact study?
Very good question.
Yes,
and
it is.
I will answer it this way.
Yes.
NEPA law is under 1500 series that is published by the College of Environmental Quality. And that's what you're referring to by the 30 days. And we further define those rules within the Air Force within 32 CFR 989. And in that document, it says every document received during this analysis, the Air Force will consider.
That was 32 CFR 99?
989.
So when I look that up, I will be able to find it, correct, sir?
You will.
Thank you.
Okay. So which one has the legal weight? The government NEPA Act or the Air Force?
Sir.
Are you telling me that the Air Force's approach supersedes the U.S. federal government?
No, I'm not telling you. It does not. The Air Force regulation that's written after the CEQ's written their regulations can be more restrictive, which it is in this case. So we have to analyze every comment that's made during the NEPA process. That's an Air Force requirement. May not be in the 1500s, I don't know that document as well, but everything in 32 CFR 989 is the document that we use.
Thank you for your time.
Hey guys, I don't mean to change the topic or anything. We want to try to be a good neighbor, and everybody's been very respectful, and I appreciate that. The folks next door are nice. Nobody's able to shop over there. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, before you leave, go buy a stick of gum or something.
My name is April Crosby. I drove in from Gila, and that comment just reminds me of Michelle Obama, that even if somebody else goes low, we can stay high.
Yes.
So thank you very much for coming. Thank you for coming. My question is, just as it's hard to quantify the emotional response that you're hearing about Love for the Wilderness, it's also hard to quantify the impact of the actual sound that would be happening over the wilderness and over the valley that I live in, the actual sound of the jets or the training pilots and planes and so on. So my question is, will there be an opportunity when you line up the alternatives and say, suppose alternative two says X many flights per week or day, and alternative three says Y many flights per week or per day, will there be an opportunity for you to actually play that sound so that we know what you're talking about and we can all actually hear what this kind of unquantifiable impact will be? Thank you very much.
A nice note I will take back to the contractor that asked that same question.
I think this process is exactly how you tell the people that are doing the analysis to do just that. So your voice just got heard in the process, so please keep that up. That was a great question and a great way to ask it.
I'm here late, and my better half, maybe when I've been there, doesn't have jackets, so that you know what I'm talking about. In the Federal Register was published an intent, a notice of intent in the Federal Register, and your EIS has been on the website for quite some time. Are you looking at deviating from the Federal Register publication and the EIS is already published?
So the NEPA process is an open, transparent process by which we take comments from the people and move forward. So the public scoping phase, which we are just ending, is where we gather information. Now, when that notice of intent comes out, it tells you what we are intending to do. And then we take the comments we learn from scoping, and then we go forward, and then we'll develop alternatives from that. So after the scoping, we may find the second, third, fourth, tenth alternative, and we will analyze all those other alternatives as we go forward. And you'll see those in the draft EIS. So your comments are being heard and added.
Okay, the draft EIS you're talking about is the one that's on the website?
No, that's not the one on the website. There is no draft EIS on the website.
The other thing that I'll say on show up is the world are not a chart. My instrument chart, I'm an instructor too, I got plenty of looking cards in my pocket, says that we don't overfly the Hedra at an altitude below 2,000 feet AGL. That was redacted from the EIS that was published by your cartographer. If you look at the chart, or it's actually a map, because a chart would show this, of the Gila Wilderness area, it does not show the 2,000 foot restriction on overflights of the Gila Wilderness, or the old Leopold Wilderness. Are you going to now turn around and include that in your draft EIS, or whatever you're going to call it?
Good question. Good.
Okay. I cannot speculate on what the answer would be to that.
Yes or no?
We will go through and look at that, and then we will put that in the draft EIS if we had intended to fly below 2,000 feet over the wilderness area.
Okay.
And then the draft EIS, which we expect to come out sometime this summer, late summer, time frame, we'll have whatever our intent is.
And you can see I spent some time in the D.C. area, so I know if you can't tap dance, you get fired.
My wife doesn't believe I can dance at all. So.
Some of my questions have been posed and answered by other people, but I will tell you, Mr. Schaefer, that I have been really unclear about this proposal from the beginning. From the first rather informal, quickly called meeting with county commissioners, and if you could help me understand how the proposal is progressing, I might be better able to comment on the Holland website and on the EIS. First off, are you currently a member of the Air Force?
I am a 32-year veteran of the active duty force. I am currently an employee of the Department of the Air Force. I'm a GS employee.
Which means you are a civilian now?
I'm a civilian employee.
Employee of the Air Force.
Not a contractor, correct.
And so when you say we have a site, a contractor that is gathering data for the EIS, you mean you as a member of the Air Force, correct?
I, as a member of the Air Force, am working with a contractor to collect all this information. I'm aware of that, it's really, well, not one job, but that's why we hire a contractor who has expertise in this area to put this stuff together.
So
when I say we, I'm talking about the Air Force and the Air Force's contractor.
So the Air Force would have hired the contractor. Who is your direct supervisor in the Air Force?
Good question. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. I work for Mr. Ed Shupin, who is the Deputy Director for Operational Training Infrastructure at Headquarters Air Force. He said Air Force, it's going to be hard for me to give the exact address, but I'll tell you his room number. So he works, if you want to address something to Mr. Shupin, it would be sent to Headquarters Air Force. Mr. Shupin is Air Force / A3TI.
Can you say that real quick?
Sure. It's Air Force / I don't know if that's a forward / or backslash. I'm not that generation, but / A3TI.
And headquarters.
How do you spell his last name, sir?
Shupin, yes, absolutely. It's CHUPEI.
And Mr. Shupin is indeed a Mr. He is also not
he's the deputy
current military.
He is a retired Air Force officer and currently a civil servant. And then his boss is an active duty colonel.
And where is the active duty colonel based?
Same office. He is the Air Force A3TI, and so Mr. Shupin's the deputy. They have the same office symbol. And they work in the same building, offices next to each other. If you ever come to the Pentagon, I'll be happy to ring you up and say hello. But we're at 5D756.
I won't remember any of that, I'm sure. Well, Kyle's recording that. So.
Okay, that's good.
And my next question is, the company that is gathering the data for the EIS, can we know in detail what their contract with the Air Force includes? And is there a way to access that? I mean, they're acting,
sure.
I would assume, in your stead as
the
people.
They are, absolutely. The contract falls under a different department, so I hate to do that to you, but
right.
The other department is the Air Force Center, I'm sorry, Air Force Civil Engineering Center, that's so often called AFCEC, A-F-C-E-C. They're located at the Lackland Air Force Base in Texas. And if you use the website, the contract personnel, I'm not a contractor, I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know what is releasable under that contract requirement. So if it's releasable, I'm certain it could be released. If it's releasable, I don't know that answer.
Thank you. And one last question, I was told. We were provided with a map,
yes,
which is on your website.
Yes, it is, yes.
And there is an ellipse.
There is
an ellipse. Now, I notice that none of the other approved military operations areas or MTAs are elliptical in shape. They mostly look like they follow tract and range lines,
right,
that they're surveyed. Now, when, during this whole process, will there be something more?
Correct. Well, it looks, the draft EIS will have a direct picture there of the proposed MOA, if that's what the alternative shows. So that would be the draft EIS.
Because this is not the proposed MOA. This is just
that elliptical circle simply is identifying an area to which it seems a reasonable alternative.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
I'd be interested to know the scientific qualifications of the people in the contractor's office who will be assessing the environmental impact.
I'm saying it's in the draft EIS. I'm pretty sure it's in the draft EIS. The final EIS has the people and their qualifications who are used in this study. So their name will be at the back of the document.
Will this be a
good
study or only an academic study from their base on the East Coast?
You threw me with the based on the East Coast. I will tell you that they use scientific models, approved scientific models, to determine that. I will tell you that the people who work for this contractor are all across the nation in different locations. So they're not East Coast. They are experts who work in from California, Oregon, Washington, all the way to the East Coast, down to Florida and Maine. The company has a large group of people who are scientists who do this work.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you Hello, my name is Jane Gillespie. I live in Gila. I'm a retired professor of microbiology and immunology, and I have a follow-up. Actually, it's convenient. The environmental impact study, as I understand it, is about 6 months, which is not even a life cycle for many of the plants and animals that we're concerned about. The way to look at the impact is to look back decades and see what the impact has been in previous times when the shaft's been dropped and the flares have been dropped. Do you know of any longitudinal studies that have been done like that? Because I've looked. They're very difficult to find.
Correct.
There have been lots of studies. The contractor has people who understand those studies. I am going to get as far forward as I can and try to put some of those studies that may be used in this document on some websites for everybody to look at, those studies. There are studies that go back many years. They've been updated over the time, so we'll try to get the latest and most accurate information available.
Could you avail us of some of those?
I don't know the data, but I'm an Air Force guy. So,
yeah, even a reference for these guys.
I would try to get them on a website. If I gave you a reference, I would be.
Yeah, I would accept that. Two other short questions. This was asked, but I didn't get the answer. Are small private planes going to be safe when this starts happening?
Yes. The FAA would not allow
other than
I understand. Yeah. The FAA, they have the final decision, and their mission is safety and efficiency of the National Aerospace System. So we will analyze it. There will be a safety section into this document that talks about that stuff, that information. If you have questions in our document, you're welcome to then ask those pertinent questions. I will tell you, at the same time we're doing our public hearings, the FAA will be doing some public comments also. So I encourage you to look for that information that will come out and make the same comments to the FAA, and then they will both to look through the data and come up with the correct answer.
Okay. Finally, one last question. You were talking about restricted areas. Are residences included in those areas?
I try to avoid the word restricted area. Restricted area is a term that's used especially in airspace. So White Sands Missile Range is a restricted area. Public is not allowed to fly through that restricted area when it's hot. That's VFR or IFR aircraft. In the military operations area, it's a different level of special use airspace, and VFR aircraft are allowed to fly through those military operations area. IFR aircraft would be directed or running. So IFR is instrument flight rules. VFR is visual flight rules. So most everybody starts out as a visual flight rule pilot. And after they accrue enough hours and enough training, they can become an instrument rated pilot. And so those are the different levels. So the FAA is required to maintain separation of aircraft that are operating IFR. So our airplanes would be operating inside that military operations area, and they have to keep IFR aircraft separated from those areas. VFR aircraft, there's no prohibited, nothing says they can't fly through that military operations area. There is an FAA AIM, which is the Air Marines Information Manual, that says pilots who want to fly through a military operations area do so and recognize the military is operating there in the past and to refer to the notices to airmen on their operational hours. So that's how we make sure none of those will be safe.
But nothing about residences.
Okay, now residences. The FAA, which is 14 CFR 99.113, I believe is the number, talks about minimum altitudes of what you have to fly. That includes the different categories of different things. So you can look up, I don't want to refer to the FAA records, I might say something wrong, I didn't write that right. But take a look at that, and it gives a minimum altitudes, name of that section, that we can fly at. So that's considered what's navigable airspace, if you will. So.
Thank you. Actually, I have a question that involves a comment. It's more directed towards Lieutenant Governor Sanchez and all of the state of New Mexico's advocacy for the Holloman Air Force Base expansion. And the preface to that question is my comment that I live in Memories. I have for 10 years. And I'm a member of the Upper Memories Volunteer Fire Department, and I will disclaim that I am not here as a spokesperson. This is purely my personal opinion. But that fire department and two other fire departments protect the southern edge of the Gila National Wilderness, as well as many other areas of the county. And over in Gila, Cliff, all through the Gila National Forest are small communities that are protected by the efforts of volunteers like myself, most of whom, I must say, are at least as old as me. They're retired, they're frail, and the other part of the department is made up of wonderful younger people who are fully employed. So when we get a call out, we may have two people out of the 20 members able to respond. We may have one. We may call the neighboring fire department. And we have very limited resources. By the way, we're all having a pancake breakfast, May the 13th. So we do everything from a house fire to a kitty up in the tree to a hiker lost in the wilderness. Yes, there's a rescue organization that now does help out with that, but to a leaky propane tank. I mean, we don't know what it is that we face until we get there, and we don't know who we have to face until they call in and we go, or where it ends up, or the support to bring us food if it's going to be later in the afternoon. And I live 7 miles from the National Forest Wilderness Office. They don't have fire crews except during the fire season. So we are often the first responders in a national forest. So my question to you, as your district Schaefer, is what will the 600 jobs that this economic boom of bringing F-16s to New Mexico, what will the 600 jobs in Las Cruces or Truth or Consequences, or Otero County, do to protect the residents of Grant County and Catron County
Yes.
And all the other areas in the Gila National Forest who rely on volunteers to protect them now. And when the incidence of fires increase because of shade, undetonated flares, accidents, whatever, how are we going to be protected? And will you consider that as you consider whether or not to continue to encourage this expansion?
Throughout this process, we don't know what it's going to look like in the end. We don't know what it's going to look like in the middle. The alternatives that we have right now may not be even the alternatives that are finally discussed and discovered and decided upon. But working with the information that we have right now, there's three alternatives to the plan. There's the leave it as it is. There's alternative one, which pushes to the east, and alternative two, which, as you very well know, pushes to the west. And we're not pushing a particular optimization plan or concept as far as this process goes. We are in favor of the continued military investment in New Mexico. New Mexico has a long history of investing in the national defense. It's a proud history, but that history doesn't trump other concerns. It doesn't. We're New Mexicans. We live here. After this next election, no matter what happens, I'm still going to be a New Mexican. Okay, I still live here. You know, my boss, the lieutenant governor, his family goes all the way back to the early Spanish settlers. I can assure you, he cares about what happens to New Mexico. He's not an outsider. He's not looking to leave. This is where he lives. This is where he raises his kids. This is where he lives his life. He's going to die here.
Why are you supporting
this? Well, we do support the military. We do support the Air Force. We do. But we're not pushing for a particular plan in this proposal. And it's very complicated. We don't know what all the questions are yet. As far as I said, these are planners. May not be the alternatives we finally thought. But yes, we are in favor of a force squadron of F-16s coming to train in New Mexico. Where they train is important. What airspace they go over has yet to be determined, and not all options are okay. The devil is absolutely in the details, and so is the right path forward, is in the details of what ends up being that plan. Now, as far as economic growth, I know everybody understands Alamogordo is going to get a great economic impact from this. Jobs, you know, there may be jobs that come in. I'm just telling you there will be economic impact for Southern Mexico and that region. There will be educational opportunities. A Grow Your Own program is being started in Mexico for maintainers and pilots. Those are jobs that are going to exist in New Mexico. And some people in this community might be able to take advantage of those jobs. But is there a great basket with a bow on it that I can say, here's the great things that are going to happen to Silver City? I don't have that for you. I wouldn't even begin to imagine what it would be.
We know that.
And I wouldn't pretend.
Get back to my question, please.
How do you continue to protect us and make sure that our resources, so limited here already, are not extended beyond capacity?
That's a question that supposes that the Air Force and the NEPA process goes with the Western Union. You know, if they were to do that, then there would be a lot of questions that would follow that process. There's a lot of infrastructure, there'd be a lot of concerns. There are concerns that the other alternative is chosen as well. There's no free choice here.
Can we get the microphone back to the line?
What's that? Well, we support the F-16 mission. There are a lot of questions left in this deeper process about airspace should be optimized. That's the best I can tell you because we don't know yet. The best thing we can do right now is continue to pour information and data and passion into this process.
Not about that. Not about that. About permanent military operating area over the Gila.
That's correct. And that has yet to be determined. And we're not pushing for that.
No, thank you.
Just so we're clear, we're not proposing
you're not protecting us.
Well, we're not putting our thumb on the scale and saying, yeah, we should definitely fly over the Gila.
You're not protecting us.
Well, we're investing in the process. This data will become part of the process. That's why we asked Mr. Schaefer to come back to Silver City to get more data, more input, more volume of Grant County impacting. No, I mean that in a good way, not a derogatory way. It is important. If at the end of this process, the overwhelming data comes from Grant County and it's negative for flying over the Gila, that's going to have a tremendous impact.
From the audience.
Yes. On the rest of the state.
No, I can't.
I'm going to tell you by a factor of 10, the comments from Grant County
are being waived, because those are the comments that were made by this county.
Do they have to be written on paper to be counted, or is verbal comment counted as well?
The comments that you make in this phase are all added as part of the analysis. So the more comments we have is what we hear, and that does have a effect. It does recognize. When we do the public hearings and you have a draft EIS, the comments start over and the numbers begin, and I have to address each one of those questions. So if the question is... During the public hearings, there will be a court reporter, so your comments made verbally in that hearing will be made.
But not today, not until the public hearing. Today.
I'm hearing what you have to say. I understand what you're saying. It is helpful to have that documentation, put it on in the website or send it to the Air Force. It adds to the administrative record. So I hear what you're saying. I understand verbal.
But you won't answer my question.
So if I understand the question correctly, it's are all verbal comments today being documented and counted? I think notes are being taken and the points are being made, but it's not a point by point volume assessment. In the formal, what's the proper term? The public hearings, then every comment is recorded and registered.
Those have been the locations. The Air Force is seriously considering adding locations to the three scoping meetings that were held. I have a direct request from your county commissioners, the New Mexico Codells, and Lieutenant Governor's office that Silver City be added to the list. I cannot tell you until we have a formal contract and decision. And as soon as we know where the locations will be, we'll make that notification. I will tell you, well, I just talked about the Codells and everything. Of all the people in this room, I will be the first to hear anything and know any of the analysis. I know zero. And I will tell you, every politician, every elected official that I've talked to have not gone, we've got to have this, we've got to not have this. They are waiting for the analysis, and I'm asking you to also wait for the analysis so you can make a good judgment. And you can make those comments back to your elected officials also.
Hi. Yeah. Regarding the comments today, I am making a recording. Can I submit this and have it part of the record? I've been here since the meeting began, and I've enjoyed hearing the comments from other members of my community. We're also confronted with a very large issue with regard to, perhaps this would give some suggestion of the sensitivity in this room to this, and our lack of trust. Our lack of trust in government in general, for which there are many reasons or pieces of evidence that can support that position. But we have a very challenging thing that we're confronted with here in the diversion of the Gila River. Another major threat to this place and our place in it. And so I would, given that we have one of the members of the governor's office here with us, I would like to ask that you bring that to the attention of Governor Martinez. Yes. To intervene at this point, take a look at the situation here with down with the diversion of the Gila River, and comment publicly, take a position on it. I think that would be very valuable. And we have problems with these sorts of things, not only at the federal level, at the state level, we have it here at the local level.
Yeah.
In that they are, even though this is under the authority of federal law with regard to the Arizona Water Settlements Act is being promoted within the state by the state engineer's office, by the Interstate Stream Commission, and also by our local representatives here, which they've heard more about it, and they will hear more. But I would like to use this as an opportunity to say how we feel when we say that we have our confidence in the integrity of our federal, state, and local government is extremely compromised by their methodology, by their procedures, and by the means with which we are provided to interact with them. So please understand that when we voice these concerns, and when people in the audience interrupt, or interject, or yell from the back of the room, because we are unhappy with government at the federal, at the state, and at the local level, that is not transparent, that is not accountable, and yet we hear very often the same platitudes presented. So that is my comment here. And I think just as one additional thing and a reason that I realize that you are not the guy. I understand that completely. But that this place, given its unique character, which is recognized by the federal government, going back to, 1924, and through the Wilderness Act, that this would even be considered.
Yes.
Yeah. That this would even be considered causes me to doubt not only the integrity, but the judgment of you and your superiors. It's a quote that I've heard recently that comes to mind often, and that is, never attribute to malice that which can be explained by incompetence.
About 2 months ago, a friend of mine and I were hiking in the Brule Mountains. All those roads, and we got strafed. Those jets could not have been more than 500 feet above us. And we were dying.
Yes.
We felt like we were under attack.
Yeah.
And after the report, we looked at each other, and we said, is my hearing all right? We were very worried about our hearing. My friend's little dog was absolutely terrified. She had to comfort her dog. We did not see any wildlife for over an hour after those jets went by. So the question is, if you're talking about having jets flying over the national forest, wilderness or not, people are hearing, but even more animals. Because we looked at each other, I said, maybe next time I'll have to bring earplugs to go hiking. Earplugs to go hiking? Yeah, the animals can't do that. So, to protect even more than the humans, the animals, and also said, there's all these roads here, it's not the wilderness, but they start doing this over the wilderness. And that destroys the very concept of the wilderness. It's true. I mean, they never visualized from the past of wilderness that something like this would even be considered. It wasn't an issue there. We need to think about it now. How can you have a wilderness when you're being strafed by jets, firemen, dropping stuff down? That's no wilderness. You're destroying the very essence of wilderness. So, yeah, I'd like to know if any provision is being done. That they can go count. And I'm going to leave you with a rhetorical question. Because we have the Hill Wilderness that and the Alder Leopold voted this. So the question I have, what would Alder do?
You may or may not respond to that, but anyway, you talk about alternatives, and one of the alternatives that I see on the map of New Mexico is if you fly up on the west side of I-25, the Wilderness and Alder Leopold and the Gila is on the west side of that. If you go up a little further, you're going to come to the Sevilla Wilderness. Wilderness is a forest. It's a national forest. And there's two of them. And they look to me like about at least 150,000 to 200,000 acres or more. But the whole population in that area may fill up this room. It's less, probably less than 1,000 people. Are those alternatives, or is that an alternative for the Air Force and their F-16 overflights?
If I understood the question, north of the Gila National Forest, is that an alternative? On the chart, we talk about as part of alternative two, creating a new MOA in that circular area and potentially moving the Smitty Cato existing MOA that's up in that area to the southeast a little bit towards the Rio Grande, towards Truth or Consequences. So those are part of the second alternative that we're looking at.
I want to go ahead and speak for everyone that loves the Gila. I don't think you, the Air Force, or Heather Wilson have a clue the fight you're in for.
Yeah.
My name is Nick Sassolo. I've been a resident of Grant County for 9 years. I'm also a former Air Force officer on the Point Patterson. I have one question which may draw into some of the concern here, and that is on your EIS website, there is an evaluation matrix of roughly half a dozen sites that the Air Force has already looked at. And of those half a dozen sites, I think the criteria rated shows this one and alternative one as leading candidates. There were roughly 6 or 7 or 8 criteria in that matrix for reasons of choosing or not choosing those half a dozen sites. And it goes to the question somebody asked earlier about, to what extent would public comment be weighted? That may or may not be incorporated into, there's one question which says minimizing the impact on civil aircraft. But there is no criteria similar to that, which I would propose to be considered, called minimizing the impact to the municipal, residential, agricultural, ranch, wilderness, forest areas. There's something out there. And I think based on the feedback that I'm hearing today, that is the principal concern. This is where we live. And there are nationally designated resources here. And I think it's, in fact, appropriate to consider that in the selection of a military operations area. Has that been discussed to the best of your knowledge? What would you consider it possibly?
analysis, which hasn't been completed yet, and all those areas that you were concerned about are in the analysis. To the matrix that you were talking about, again, this action has to do with optimization, especially in airspace. So we looked at the airspace within 150 miles of Holloman, and we looked at it to say if it's optimized for Air Force operations. And if it was, then we didn't continue on with that, looking at it. So it gave us two alternatives, pieces of airspace that were not considered optimized. And when we were looking at the second alternative, this is a reasonable alternative to move to build airspace over here. So that would be part of the optimization of special use airspace. So that's how the two alternatives were developed off that criteria, the distance from the base and the attributes that those buildings had. So that's how we explained those two alternatives. Now, those were the two alternatives of walking into the public scoping meetings. Now we've had public scoping meetings, we can go back and start analyzing that data and deciding what was good ideas, bad ideas, or different ideas. And that's what this building, and that's what public comments are for. So we can have that information.
I did have someone ask me if a group got together to put data analysis together, and there's a lot of experts and a lot of people know a lot about this area, here in this room, and there's others that weren't even in this room. Is the best way still to codify that and submit it through the website or in writing? The question really was, they want a more vocal, robust participation in the analysis process.
Right. All the comments we receive will be looked at as we go through the analysis, develop the alternatives, and do the analysis of what the impact would be on that analysis. Those will be the draft EIS. And again, at that point, that's the perfect time for you to look at our analysis and say, hey, I'm going to give you a C, I'm going to give you an A, I'm going to give you an F. And tell us what that analysis has to do. So until we have the analysis, it's hard to say, you know, where we're going to stand on that. I appreciate every comment that's made. That's important for us to understand. And as we go forward, the next phase, when we have the public hearings and we have the draft EIS, we'll have a lot more detail and hopefully the answers that you're looking for and or the areas in which you want to make comments.
Can I ask a question, please? Will the meeting where this happens, what you're talking about, will we have notice a few days before it happens so we can all these spontaneous it has been previously?
You will have plenty of notice. There will be lots of information presented. I'm hoping lots. I'm at least 30 days, hopefully 60 days. I have a desire to have you have that information 30 days and 60 days in advance of that documentation, so that will give you time to read that analysis and decide to work with this.
Where will the public meeting be?
The public meetings, we are analyzing, or we're about to send out some information, modify a contract, and
here.
We are going to add here. Locations.
We want your guarantee that the next one will be here.
And I will tell you, we are adding locations. We will announce those locations as soon as we can. And we do have a request from all the officials from the county commissioner all the way to the lieutenant governor's office that Silver City and Grant County be included in that. So,
sir, I'm sorry, I'm confused. We're talking about planes flying over the wilderness in the future, but as several people have pointed out, they're already flying over the boroughs.
Yeah.
They're already screening us in the boroughs. And so, who's responsible for those planes?
Yeah.
Who's doing that right now? Yeah. Not in the future, but right now.
Yeah.
That's the Marine CMOA.
What's the answer?
It's the Marinci MOA. It's already been there since 1950.
No.
Say it out loud so we can hear.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you were to look on the chart, something you had been looking at, they had a circle that was being held up. there are two areas that we're looking at. Just to the, what you're referring to is the areas just to the northeast of that circle that's on the map. That is the Lindsay and Reserve Bullets that have been there for quite a period of time. They are scheduled by the Arizona Air National Guard out of Tucson.
What about Mule Creek? We're getting one
of
Mule Creek, and we never had it before.
I'm not sure what Mule Creek is, so I don't have it.
How many other wilderness areas do you find?
We're going to take a few more questions, as many as we can, real quick.
I am 12 years in the United States Air Force, 60 through 80, proud member, proud to serve. Since then, I got my start in aviation. I was a helicopter mechanic, gunner, crew chief, flying studies. Ever since, I've been FAA federal mechanic. I've never been around an aircraft that's not noisy. There are several really good points here. About all the games straight, November, December, on our deer trip here in the Burroughs, straight. And I can tell Air Force, I'm normally my wave, you know. Nobody seems to be minding that. It's a third tiny down here. We do have the wilderness. What I heard another question that set me on, that the sonic booms, I've heard the sonic booms down here. Are you going to limit these people on their speed, let alone elevation? Because now we're starting to talk about noise pollution. Now we're talking box flies, damaging everything, scaring people, the dogs, all this. I am standing here, as everybody else has. Next time, I understand that you're probably a contractor. I've dealt with many of them, Sandia National Labs, my whole career around here. Next time we should send somebody down here that shows the respect you're getting from the trial. And that meant that even the ladies that stood up to address you, you sat there through the whole meeting, telling them not to interfere, not to be rude, not to do these things. I've considered myself for you being very rude. I'm sitting there on your butt for a meeting without standing up and facing you.
Hey, how many other wilderness areas does the Air Force fly over now?
I don't have that exact number, but I will go back and look at that and see if I can find it.
I bet you're a part of my friends. It's a baby a test case here, aren't you?
There are 56 wilderness areas in the high desert area of Southern California, and all 56 are available to fly over below 500 feet. So those are the 56 wilderness areas I can think of off the top of my head. There's other ones all across the country. I'll try to find them closer.
My name is Rebecca Summer, and these are two three questions. Starting out with a professional legitimate EIS procedure requires informing and getting data from stakeholders in the affected area. Granite County has more than 28,600 residents, all stakeholders directly and permanently affected by what happens in and to the Gila National Forest. I bet there's less than 28,600 people in Las Cruces that are direct stakeholders. Furthermore, Las Cruces is not under any proposed MOA. So the first question, who told you to hold a scoping meeting in Las Cruces instead of somewhere in Grant County? Was it Secretary Heather Wilson or Holloman Commander Colonel Houston Conklin or a member of our congressional delegation?
I will tell you, none of the above were involved in the decision of where those locations would be. If there's a person in the Air Force that should be looked to make the decision, I'm that person.
We're the stakeholders, by the way. That's what EIS is supposed to be.
And I wholeheartedly that you are a stakeholder. A typical airspace action of that size normally requires 3 public hearings. That was a determination made through the statistics. 3 selected locations were population centers near or those locations. So I apologize that the information that we sent out to Grant County was not spread out well enough that everybody, I invited everybody to come to Las Cruces. So.
The second question is, why exactly did the Air Force choose to limit scoping to 3 locations? Because surely you have the funds and time for just 1 more scoping, right?
Again, the size of the airspace action dictated 3 locations. So that's what they put in the contract. I am the person who selected the 3 population centers. I also directed that we would invite everybody, to include people in Silver City, to attend those meetings. So I apologize that the information did not get out as well as I had intended. And the Air Force recognizes that you are all stakeholders. The Air Force is dedicated to increasing the number of public hearings to include as many stakeholders in this action as possible.
We're unfortunately running out of time. There's a few things that I want to make sure
get out. The first is I want to make sure everyone has, who's not able to get one of these documents, has the website.
That's one.
Yep, okay. For those of you that don't get it, I want to read it off to you very slowly so that you do have it, so that you can continue to submit your questions and your comments to the process. The website, for those of you that want to take it down, is www.HollimanAFBAirspace.com. So HollimanAFBAirspace.com.
I know.
And that is the easiest way to continue to have the volume of the comments and questions continue to pour in and have the impact that they deserve. With that, I'm sorry we're out of time. I'll tell you that our office is pushing for the maximum number of meetings to be brought back to Silver City, including those hearings when the time comes. We will continue persistently to push to bring that back to Silver City.
So is that a guarantee that there will be a... No.
We can't guarantee it. All we can do is continue to pound on them and ask. But we will not stop until that time comes. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate the questions.
This was the last of 3 in a row.